Let's start with prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, and we just thank you for this morning. Lord, we got a lot of rain, or a little bit of rain last night, which looked like the track could probably use it, but it's still going to be slippery. So we just ask for your blessing on this day. Watch over us and let us all have a good time. But Father, first, before we even go out and do that, we want to gather around your table and sit at your feet and have you minister to us. Give us a message that will draw us closer to you. We just ask that you send your Holy Spirit, Father, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning, I want to read a parable. And I kind of wanted to touch a little bit on the church. You know, you hear a lot of times, you know, you talk to people and they, you know, well, we can't go to church because it's full of hypocrites and all this stuff. But I just kind of wanted to read, a parable that talks about that a little bit and just see what God has to say about it. And it starts, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. And basically what he's talking about the church. Now, the church is full of good people. But amongst them, you've heard the saying, there's always a bad apple. Not everybody in the church has the church's best interest at heart. And that's where the weeds come from. They're there, you know, to disrupt people. And they may not even realize they're doing it, but you know, the enemy loves to use people in his favor. And if he can sow dissension amongst the people in the church and get it all stirred up, that's just more power to him, man. He loves that part. So he loves to do that. Let's go on and see what it says next. It says, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Now, you've looked across fields, you know, like, especially since they don't plant beans in rows anymore, you know, they drill them nowadays, you don't really have rows. You look out across there and you see a bunch of weeds growing up in the bean field. It'd be really hard to go out there and pull them weeds out without trashing some of the beans. I'm not a farmer, but that part, you know, I can figure that one out. Roger can attest to that. So, the same thing would happen in the church a lot of times. You know, if you got people in the church that aren't necessarily going the direction that they should be going and doing what they're doing, if they're not influencing you in a negative way, it may be better just to leave them alone than to try to pull them out, because it's going to really mess things up. And a good example would be, you know, let me use an example, like if you get hurt, it affects people around you. That affects people around you. Even so, you know, you have no intention of harming your family. Say you break a leg or you whatever it might be, it doesn't just affect you. It affects your mom, your dad, your kids, if you're the father or mother. It always affects other people. Well, the same way in the church, if you go in and start, you know, just getting rid of everybody that you don't think is quite perfect, you're going to really make a mess out of that church. That's not what God's intent is. So what is his intent? Well, he says right here, he says, and he's still talking about the weed and the wheat, but he's using that, you know, for the church. And it says, let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. In other words, don't worry about it. I'm going to sort it out. So if you got some bad apples mixed in with the good ones, And at the end of it all, when it comes time to clean house, he says, I will take care of it. The good ones are going over here. The bad ones going over there. And just to kind of back that up, Paul made a statement. He says, it is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. It's real easy for us to pass judgment on other people. Yeah. And, you know, we always pick, I mean, even little things, you know, picking on people, trying to, you know, tell them how they live. You know, one of the easy ones is usually, you know, oh, man, that person's a Christian, but they still smoke. Can you believe that? Or, you know, that person's a Christian, but they drink. Where, wait a minute, that's between them and God. It's not between us and them. And if their conscience doesn't tell them that they ought to not be doing that, then who are we to tell them that they need to quit? But you can get, you know, you can get off on bunny trail here real easy. I don't want to do that. But it's you know, like the smoking and drinking, that's a whole nother story. I don't believe smoking's good for you. I don't think it's a great thing to be doing, but at the same time I also know it doesn't keep you out of heaven. And drinking, that's a whole nother subject. You know, nowhere does it say that you can't have a drink, but you sure as heck don't want to be a drunk. That's definitely, the Bible definitely speaks against that. But like, that's kind of a bunny trail. We'll go back to our text. The whole parable, what it's telling us basically is, not everybody in the church is perfect. We don't have all perfect people in the church. But be careful, unless they're really making a total mess out of the church, we need to just let them be, because they're not going to hurt anything, and God will sort them out in the end. That's the first item. Now, it's like two mini sermons together today. I got another scripture I want to read, and it's out of 2 Peter. It says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Now that'd be all right if it stopped right there. But then the scripture goes on. It says, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. That's the scary part. See, we get all these false teachers nowadays that come up with some of this stuff, and all you got to do is turn on some of the Christian channels on TV. There's a lot of good preachers on there, but there's a whole lot of scary ones too. And you listen to some of the stuff they're saying, and it's like, well, they didn't say that in my Bible. But there's thousands of people sitting there listening to them, and that ain't talking about the ones that are, you know, watching the TV at home. And so, like it says, many will follow their shameful ways. And it goes on, it says, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. So we're right back to it. Okay, God will take care of them. That's not a problem. But the problem is us. If we follow them, it's going to really mess us up. So what do? Well, we got to stay on our toes. And we need to study the Word of God. You can't just go through life and just listen to a preacher or preachers and just go by what all they, you know, what they say. If you just come here and just listen to me whenever I preach, that's great. I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad I get the privilege to share the Word of God with you. But you need to double check even what I say. That's just the way. And you know, you've heard me say it before. Nobody's perfect. And the Holy Spirit's supposed to talk through me and give you a message. But there's still a little bit of Heinz in there usually too. And because of that, hey, we need to double check and make sure Heinz is saying what he's supposed to be saying. Now, I believe that I do, but still, how do you know that? And you know it if you're studying the Word of God. And what happens is, If you read the Bible and you study the Word, and you talk to other people about the Word, and you just hang, you know, start doing that stuff, when something messes up, when somebody isn't who they ought to be, and they start talking, a little flag will come up, and you'll go, oh, wait a minute, what they're saying doesn't ring true. You may not necessarily know what's wrong about it, but immediately a check in your spirit comes up, and it says, wait a minute, something's wrong here. I need to check this out. Now, if you don't know where it is in the Bible and where to check it out, then you go talk to somebody to help you search it, and you can look it up. But you get that check in the spirit. So basically, I just had too many sermons with a whole bunch of stuff that I put in there. But what's the point of my message on this? What's the conclusion to all this? Well, first point I was trying to make is not everybody that says they're a Christian are truly a Christian. Just like everybody that says they're a motocrosser ain't necessarily a motocrosser. You got your wannabes and Harley riders, you got your wannabes here, and you got your wannabe Christians. You know, a lot of them walking around saying they are. And where the rubber meets the road, you might say, they may not necessarily be. But it's not for us to pass judgment on them. That's God's job. The second point, careful who you listen to. Always double check what you're hearing to make sure you're not being led astray. Because that can really mess you up. And yeah, I firmly believe once you make a decision for Jesus Christ, when you're saved, you're saved. You're going to heaven. That's sealed, done, over. But your life here can be miserable or it can be good. And the way you live it and the way you stay plugged in with the Spirit really affects how your life will be. So it's important that you try to follow God's ways. But then the third point that I was trying to make with this message is, hey, when you hear people talking about churches, you know, knocking them down, you know, talking about how bad they are and all that stuff. Yeah, there's a few bad apples in the crowd, but overall, the majority of the people are a bunch of good Christians just trying to work out their way just like the rest of us. You know, the Bible says, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you're not working for your salvation as in, am I going to heaven? But as into the path you take while you're here and how Christ-like you become, that's what you're really working out. And overall, you go to a Bible-believing church, the majority of the people there really think they're doing what they ought to be doing, and they're doing their best. And that's what people ought to see in us when we're out going around, you know, doing our thing. So we know we got to stay on our guard to not be misled, because that'll, you know, mess us all up. But just because there's a few bad apples in there, when people start bad-mouthing us and stuff, hey, there's more good ones than there's bad ones. We know that for a fact. And with that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you spoke to us again this morning. Father, we just love the way you teach us. Lord, it's simple to be a follower of Jesus. People is who make it hard, but even so, people try to make it hard. We don't have to go with that. We can keep it simple and just stay in your word and just follow you. And when people try to disrupt things, Lord, let us remember not to join in. And we're supposed to be a light for you in this world. So when we're out doing our thing, Lord, make us shine brightly and make sure we're not one of the bad apples that we was talking about, Lord. Help us to not be negatively influenced and just allow us to do the best we can to serve you. We just thank you so much now. Father, as we get ready to go race, just watch over us, Lord. Track's going to be slick. The jumps are going to be slick. Father, just keep everyone sane and safe and let us have a good time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.